didn't think you were going to see me again, huh? What's up, y'all? It's Luis from Koenig Wheels, and we got my esteemed colleague and buddy.
What's up, everyone? Rich from Koenig Wheels.
Welcome to another beautiful Behind the Wheel podcast, Wheel Wednesday podcast, where we talk cars, we talk life, we talk it all. And make sure to subscribe. If you're here and you're not subscribed, make sure you subscribe, because you know what? We come up with cool content on this channel. And today's guest is the reason why you should be joining us here on and being subscribed, because we have a champion in the building.
Mm-hmm. It's not me.
It's me. No. We have a champion in the building. We have Formula Drift Prospect 2022's Formula Drift Prospect champion, Robert Thorne, in the house. Somebody give me a clap, bro.
Oh, here we go. We got a little clap right there.
Oh, we got a whole slow
thanks for having me, guys. Going
on. By the way, for those who don't know, my man Robert Thorne has joined the team.
Mm-hmm.
He has joined the Koenig Wheels team, and I'm excited about that. And it all comes down to the ASM boys, man. We're, you know, ASM Koenig connection mm-hmm. is strong right now. Yes, how you feeling, is. Rob?
Doing pretty good. Appreciate you guys having me and having me on board with Koenig. So,
yeah, man.
It's going to be a pretty exciting year, and kind of all come together with the whole ASM team.
Yeah, thank you for riding with us, man. Mm-hmm. It means a lot. I've looked into your career and what you've done, and your accomplishments are off the charts, man. But I kind of wanted to just get into the conversation. Just get right into it, man. Tell us a little brief history of Robert Thorne and motorsports in general, man, because I know there's a lot. So how does that happen?
Yeah,
where did you go?
Yeah.
Let us know.
Well, it all started in karting when I was like 8 years old, you know, and I did like 8 years of karting, did all the big tours, all the national events, won a lot of stuff. And then I feel like I got lucky. I ended up on this program with BMW called the BMW Junior Program, and got to drive Formula cars on their series for a couple years, and then jumped into sports cars. And I did the Daytona 24 Hours when I was 17. And just kind of continued on. I've definitely rode like a few trains, like up and down the ladder. Like, you know, I've been all the way up to, you know, top level GT racing twice, mm-hmm. and then all the way down to running my own autocross car, you know, by myself and building it in my garage. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of done it all. Definitely been around the block a bit. For sure, some really good memories all the way down. I mean, autocross was probably one of the biggest learning curves for me from coming from road racing, and not many guys, I guess, go from road racing to autocross because it's such a different sport. Mm-hmm. And then, and after a lot of that, all of a sudden drifting kind of caught my eye.
Nice.
And, let's see, last year was my third year playing with drift cars.
That's what I'd say.
It went pretty well.
Bro, I'm telling you, this man hasn't been in a drift course, like he's been obviously in a course in general, but a drift course is only his third year.
I know.
And this man becomes champion of literally the biggest event, of, like, you know, and now he's jumping
to pro. Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, I don't know, man. I noticed that. So we've talked to a lot of drifters, and one of the things that I've noticed is they don't really have like road racing backgrounds. Do you think that was like beneficial to what you're doing, or is it a different ball game?
No, I think it's good. I think it's like important that, you know, you just understand like the line. Like, I feel like the fastest way through the course, you know, and like the little subtleties that find you time are probably all stuff I got through road racing. I mean, really, that's the name of the game. And then to kind of, when I first started drifting, I took way too much of that.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like completing the course. You know, and the judges come up to me afterwards and like, dude, it's not a race. Like, you've got to like, it's got to have angle. It's got to have style. So I've slowly kind of worked that way a little bit. And now I'm starting to kind of get it, I feel like. But I still feel like there's so much to learn.
Starting to
get it.
He took out a bunch of people last year. That's all good. You know,
like Orlando last year was my 10th comp ever. That was like my fifth weekend ever doing competition. So I feel like this year, even I just learned so much every round. I mean, pro would be a pretty big step up. Speaking of which, going to make the big move to pro with you guys next year. Tear it up.
Yeah, man. So just to kind of dig in a little bit of how you get into drifting, like, okay, so obviously, you started with Formula. Then I know you've done IMSA. I know you've done World Challenge. You've done all these big motorsports events. And then out of nowhere, you just say, I just see from my research of looking into Robert Thorne, I see all of a sudden now you're Formula Drift champ. Like, how did that transition happen? I know that last year you were also doing grid life, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. So how does did you jump into drifting? Like, what made you do that? Because I know, and the crazy thing is, I know ASM team is also other people on the ASM team are looking into drifting.
Yep.
So that's exciting. But tell us how that happens to you. Like, what made you, what caught your interest? How'd you get involved?
Huh. Well, I moved to Oklahoma to do some things with a friend, and they've got a big drift scene here. So I went out to a local event and just to check it out. And it was really that. Just went out to a local event, did it once. It's like, yeah, all right, it's all right. You know, we have a V8 Miata that, you know, my partner here, Chris, bought. And we do, been doing motorsport stuff together for a while, which is how I ended up here. And then I feel like it really kicked off. I got called by Andy, right? ASM Andy got the call. He's like, hey, we're going to go down to NOLA for the weekend. And there's a grid life event down there and they're going to do drift. We get to do full course, the skid pad and the go-kart track. So bring something and bring as many tires as you own. I was like, okay, I'd only done like a couple events so far. And I meet down there. It's him, me and Pete, Peter Collins also drives the white and blue E46. That's all ASM wrapped. And we meet down there. It was the first time I met Pete and probably only like the fourth time I'd ever even met Andy. And we 3 days of just going back and forth between the three courses and drifting the whole weekend. And that was like, that was the fun factor, right? Cause that was just open, fun. How close can you go? What crazy stuff can you do? We were like, can we do tandem 360s? Like, we did it in the wet. We did the first and only grid life. They called it double drift battle. Right. And me and Andy entered that in the pouring rain and won that, which was just like a freestyle. Go out, have fun, like put on the show. And we're like, well, yeah, we can have fun. Like, we'll have the most fun. So, and then after that, I was like, so how does drifting work? Like, where do we go from here? You know, like, what's obviously I'm competitive, right? So, like, we want to go out and win something, which is probably the opposite of how a lot of drifters think. Like, a lot of guys I know are really talented drifters, but will not go anywhere near competition.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is, I'm not going to ruin it with competition. Yeah. You know, this is a fun freestyle sport. Of course, I was the opposite. So I found that there was local competition and here in Oklahoma. And then the owner reached out to me and he's like, oh yeah, by the way, like here's this like perfect ladder to get into FD. And they're like, yeah, you just run pro am. You can. So that was so my local region here is called Full Lock Drift.
Yes, I know.
Which I'm now. And they have one of the Pro-Am championships, right, to gain licenses for FD. And right, so to get into FD, you need to be licensed and you basically have to, you know, win a license. So I was like, okay, cool, I can do this. So I built a car for 2021 and we went out and won the championship. It was a four round championship. Like it's exactly the same as how Pro Spec is run, you know, four rounds, same rule book, not as strict on tires, but you know, pretty much the same thing and won that locally. And yeah, all of a sudden now here I am a licensed FD driver after doing four competition weekends. And like I said, so there's this like built in ladder, right? And now it's, this will be my third year of competition now going into pro. And I think it's like kind of fascinating compared to if you were to try to get into, you know, pro road racing,
it's
where you just don't have these like perfectly defined stepping stones and also other companies available to help you get there. Not to mention the people involved that are all not maybe not as selfish. You know, everyone's rooting for you. Everyone's rooting for each other. You know, everyone wants everyone to have just the best weekend every time. And that's probably what made me want to stay and keep going with this, because there's that support.
Would you say that the stepping stones would make it more appealing to people who want to get into competitive motorsports? Or do you think it's just something separate?
No, I think it's important because I feel like, you know, in the pro road racing world these days, it's like the stepping stones are just cash dollars, right? It's just money.
Yep, that sounds right.
If you want to go, you know, race in IMSA, and you've probably never done it before, you've probably never even hit a road course, you probably could. You come to go to the right team with the right amount of money and you'll be racing, you know, pretty much right away. Whether you're good, experienced, not, you know, and you can't, they won't let you do that in this sport. And also they reward, you know, talent, which I think is super cool. Something that's, like I said, kind of lost in the road racing world.
You know, I could imagine that, you know what I mean? Just because, you know, and as you said, one of the things that getting to know a lot of these FD drivers and the FD community and drifting community and working with some of the pro-am guys, it's constant. Like, each one, you know, helps each other out. Yep. You see them in the pits. Like, when someone needs a specific part, you run and give it to them. Whereof, like you know, once you get to these bigger events, it's a totally different ball game. Like, I was even I'm going tomorrow, totally random, to F1 AlphaTauri event. They're revealing their livery.
Cool.
Yeah, and I know for a fact, like, you know, like, it's suit and tie. It's a different type of, like, atmosphere. It's, you know, these drivers are untouchable, talking about millions of dollars that they're spending, where it's like, you know, you kind of, and this is not, at the end of the day, they're doing the damn thing, but it's a different, once it becomes something bigger, it changes the community. It's no longer a community. It's something that's the rich boys play with. Are you saying, know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that makes any sense.
Are you saying that if an F1 guy had an issue in their pit or something like that, and the other teams are looking at them like, huh, good riddance?
Yeah.
Is it kind of like
that? I feel like that's what it is. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of, and you kind of see it. You kind of see it on these documentaries, you know, that thing, you know, you see them like kind of, it's not the same camaraderie than when you're starting off in this, you know, not amateur, because the thing is, like, it's not amateur. Like, people like yourself are in there. People like Tom, you know, who are legit racers, legit motorsports people that can go against anyone. You know what I mean? But at the same time, there's just this sense of community when you go out there. And it's exciting. You know what I mean? Because you're challenging each other. You know what I mean? So to see someone like yourself, and I know Andy's talking about getting into it. I'm like, yo, FD is gonna, you know.
Well, Andy's already had some competitions under his belt. We already heard it, you know?
Yeah. Me and Andy, the one, are definitely gonna try and get Andy moving for sure. See if we can get him licensed. I'm gonna try and drag him down here. We're gonna have that licensing series again. I know he's working on his car for Pro-Am, so he'll be there soon. Plenty of talent. I mean,
You know
the guru, man. He's the guru.
You know the phrase of gangsters move in silence.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's just like the definition of Andy, right?
It really.
Like literally just, you know.
Rob too, bro. I mean,
yeah, for real. For
yeah,
real.
Yeah, yeah.
These ASM guys are sleepers, honestly.
Yeah. You don't want to sleep with them. They don't talk much, but they'll go on that track and shred you up.
Yo, for real.
And be like, what's up, gangster?
Yeah. Yo, it's crazy. All
right. Yeah, it's funny bringing our own. I feel like we bring our own competition, like going out and doing Grid Life and GLTC last year. Man, was it just a battle with me and Tom and Andy. Yeah. I mean,
you guys were all top five. They were top five, bro.
You guys had four in top five, I think, right? Wasn't there?
Yeah. I missed third for the championship by just a couple points. And then we wrapped up fourth and fifth at least.
Who's the other guy? Zach, right? Is that the right name?
Yeah, Zach Lavoie and Matt Walbaum.
Oh, Matt. Yes.
I think Matt was fifth.
Yeah, okay.
And then, God, was Zach sixth? I mean,
yeah, you guys were all up there. It's crazy.
It was just,
we were wrapping.
Took
it
over that event.
They can make
that class.
They can make an ASM road racing league. You just watch that.
Yeah,
them going against each other.
I think that's what they're trying to do, bro. Like,
all right, it's a crazy amount of talent for sure. And I mean, Tom is like probably like one of the fastest drivers I've ever met. Mm-hmm. Like on any given moment, like he'll hit this, like this stride sometimes on track where he's just untouchable.
Yeah.
I feel like most of the time, like we can definitely like battle it out and hang. And then like once in a while, Tom will come out of nowhere and just do something that like super special that like, no one can touch.
Right.
So the talent's pretty crazy for sure.
So tell us a little bit about the ASM connection. Like, how did that happen? Like, how did you meet Andy? Did kind of mention it briefly, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. But tell us a little bit of how that happened and how you become part of that team.
Well, you said you just recently moved to Oklahoma. So were you Wisconsin before this?
No, I was in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Most of these relationships all come from One Lap of America. Probably heard that a little bit with those guys, but a lot of us, met at One Lap of America, you know, as competitors. And with those big, you know, 8-day long road trip events, there's no way to make enemies. Like everyone's friendly almost out of necessity, because it's like, it's just you guys on the road. And if anyone needs anything, you know, that's the only person who's going to be there to help. And, I met Andy on One Lap, and, you know, we had some light interactions for sure. And then we met again at Gingerman. I was running my S2000 against his Evo in Unlimited. So we were at the Grid Life event at Gingerman running Time Attack and, you know, swapping positions every session.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we ended up running against each other in Time Attack a couple times throughout, had to be 2017. And then met again at One Lap a couple years in a row. And then we started, you know, we hang out in the pits, right? I mean, it's weird to say, like, well, we only saw each other like once or twice a year, but like that one time is 8 days straight, you know, on the road.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a lot of time to interact and, you know, just see how well we all work together. And from that, we definitely knew that like we wanted to do more stuff together. And then, just like anyone, any friends, you know, you just start hitting each other up what you're going to be doing soon and try to end up at the same place. And that just happens to be like all over the country.
Nice.
Yeah, man. So I heard this mentioned when you were speaking to Rich. Now, is it because obviously the garage is in Wisconsin and you're in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Like, so I know slightly that you have your own situation like when it comes to working on your cars, are you doing it over there or how are you guys communicating that, or is it just
I feel like in the public light, you know, we kind of show that like we're all one big shop and one big team.
That's the way it comes off.
But the reality is we definitely have our own shop here. And just like I had one in Pennsylvania, when I moved here I built one with Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And the E46 that I have, the four-door, was built entirely at this shop. I think the first time Andy saw it was, you know, at a Grid Life festival after it was all completed and wrapped. And obviously Andy has his shop, right, where everything is built there. And we definitely talk all the time, of course, you know, with modern communications, it's super easy to feel like you're in the same space and go over things and car details and video chat and help each other out. And I've been up to Wisconsin. I've been to the shop a couple times.
Cool.
And helped out for some weekends. And Andy's been here, definitely been here a couple times. So we've been out and doing some night drifts around the yard and stuff.
Cool.
And we have some fun, but very much separate. There's definitely a benefit of kind of all, you know, operating under this one name. You know, we don't just want to support Andy, but support ourselves. And the more we can bring together, I think it benefits everyone, you know. So that's really why, you know, why we work together. And of course, we have the best time doing it, right?
Of course.
It's super rare you can get this many guys together that are this competitive, that are also this friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's this group of people that it's just the best of both worlds.
Hell yeah.
And, like we said, we're far apart, but you know, we definitely interact like we're next door. So,
and that's a true definition of a team.
Yeah, man.
You got to bring like-minded people who want to kind of accomplish a goal and executing it. That's what you guys are doing.
I mean they also push each other too, you know?
No, for sure. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Literally, you know? in the two competitions that we're invested in, these guys are literally everywhere. And that's why I was telling him, man, when you hit us up, I was like, oh man, this is like the last piece of the puzzle. It was like, you know what I mean? Because we already kind of, and I had it in my mind when I was talking to Tom and Andy, because we've had meetings and stuff like that about us collaborating. Yep. And I didn't want to say like, what about Rob? You know, I was like, but I was like, you know what? If it happens, it happens. We're here. You know what I mean? If you needed us, and when you hit us up, I told him, I was like, yo, we got to make it work. Like, you know, because.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's crazy because I mean, it's on the podcast or whatever, but it's February, so like we have our budget pretty allocated pretty by now.
Yep.
And like, you know, we weren't really looking for too much more, and we kind of had a plan set out.
Yep.
And then you hit us up, and Luis is like, "Yo, we gotta make this work," and I was like, "All right, we gotta make it work."
and
here you are, and we're happy to have you, man. It's awesome.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate what you guys are doing for me. I know it was a late ask, but man, the logistics for moving to Pro seemed pretty difficult. So I wanted to make sure that I had everything lined out. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one on this team is going to say they're going to do something and not, right?
Yep.
So I want to make sure as soon as I was like, all right, I'm committed. I know what tire, I know what setup I'm going to run. I know what I need. And that's when I reached out.
Mm-hmm. So, cool.
Want to make sure ready to go.
So want to go back a little, you know, question that I had that I was curious about is going back to your background. Yep. Obviously, you've worked and driven in a McLaren to now having a E46, you know what I mean? What challenges? And now, I'm assuming that with the McLaren, you had a different type of team and everything, or was it all built in-house as well? Or is...
No, it was very much like a pro team.
Yeah.
That's a whole story on itself. But, back then, I lived in Colorado.
Yep.
And I worked at the race shop 3R.
That's
kind of where I learned how to build race cars, right? Because obviously everything you see me drive, I've now, you know, built entirely myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that at 3R. Well, while I was there, they were running the CAPEX Volvo program. So they were running, you know, the World Challenge four-wheel drive Volvos. And I happened to live local, begged my way into a job there painting walls, literally. And slowly got to do more, then became mechanic, and they trained me for everything I know now. Somehow I convinced them to let me drive one of their cars for a test, and the owner happened to show up, and man, the stars aligned, and I ended up driving for them in World Challenge the same year they switched to McLaren. So that was a professionally, you know, run team with, of course, you know, factory McLaren GT cars with, you know, the factory mechanic or the factory engineers would fly in to operate the cars and instruct the team. And I got to do that for 2 years along with some amazing teammates. First year, Alex Biggie, and the second year, I had Kevin Estra as a teammate. And holy cow, talk about a fast guy. I mean, he might be the fastest guy in sports cars.
Yeah, wow.
And then also ended up in the Audi LMS with Flying Lizard. Then the following year,
R8,
driving alongside Winklehawk in the Daytona. There's some crazy experiences. But yeah, for sure, all back then, I was just the driver, right?
Yeah.
Just like you'd expect, you know, arrive and drive and try to bring the car home in one piece, which is so different from now, right? Where now I need to manage the team, build the car, prep everything, spares, and also somehow drive it. So that's, and for FD, it's too much, right? I mean, for a local weekend or even grid life, it's kind of okay. I've been road racing a long time. You know, it's a pretty smooth process when we go to the track. But now with FD, it's totally different. So we try to treat the FD weekends like more like a professional race team. So that's why ASM also is there, because I really need the help from everyone. You know, mm-hmm. Tom is there, Andy's there, Zach is there, Pete's there for every weekend, and everyone's got their job and tasks, and I turn the car over to Andy entirely. You know, I don't touch it unless, obviously, if there's something that I can help with, but you know, everything I at least give to them, so I can just focus on the driving side. Tom's there with, you know, coaching and spotting, and Zach and Pete and Chris and everyone else is running around trying to take care of, you know, 20 wheels and tires at once, and spare parts, and where do we need to be when, which is a big thing. The schedule gets pretty wild there, and they have things set up really odd, like, not to knock them, because they've been really great. I mean, they run a really nice show at FD. But, like, they'll have the driver's meeting right before you go on track. When I mean right before, I mean, like, the driver's meeting will be between 12:30 and 1. So the driver's meeting will be, like, 12:30 to 1, and the car is supposed to be in grid at 12:45 and then go on course at 1. So it's, like, I've literally, like, the car's – yeah, like, the car's moving through paddock as we're sitting there in the driver's meeting, so then they'll be doing, like, headshots while we're supposed to be getting teched.
Yeah.
So – like all these, you know, impossible situations where you're like, okay, yeah, this requires the full team. And, you know.
Yeah, I think when it comes to FD, and I think that the most exciting part about people getting involved is the growth that's happening right before your eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, from me starting working here, I started here in 2016 to now, and seeing how it consistently keeps going, like, And the reason why I think, you know, this is now me talking like candidly here, is I think it's one of those motorsport events that it's instant gratification, so it goes with the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fast event. It happens like consistently, like, you know, from the beginning to the end, everything is just consistently happening. Loud noises. It's a, you know, usually in a smaller track. It's not like kind of these other motorsport events where it takes a little bit longer. You know, you could take your time, not take your time for the racers, but I mean for the people spectating and whatnot. And it's just a little bit different, the format. You know what I mean? So I think it's exciting. But now, what was I getting to here?
Well, I'm gonna cut you off then. Okay. Just because you don't have your thoughts, so I'm gonna just chime in with something completely different. Okay. But another way on how I feel like the FD kind of stuff is kind of reaching the masses. Remember, I showed you that commercial from Toyota.
Yes.
That so when Toyota released GR86, they did this big commercial. It's like a 5 minute long commercial on YouTube, and Frederick Osbo and Jonathan Castro were in it.
We're on the commercial.
Obviously, they're Team Toyota. Yeah. But they Toyota themselves specifically chose them. Yep. It's not like they said, hey, we need a couple drivers for a commercial. They chose them because they know that they have FD.
No, it's so, the future, man.
Yeah, it's almost flattering.
Yes.
And it's given clarification that this is
the direction it's going.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So it's really cool.
But that's what I wanted to get into. So when it comes to building this type of car, you know, and with your background, what were some of the challenges that you had building this car that you feel is a little bit different? Simply for the simple fact that you consistently have to be fixing this thing. I mean, I've seen it happen literally on track with other teams. So what are some of the challenges that you've dealt with compared to what you've done in the past?
Yeah, it's a little different. You know, I definitely started building the car like a normal road race car. And then, it came down to how fast can you fix things and how much abuse can the car take? Like, I had never built a car with like the plan to crash it.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, what happens when I crash it here? And what happens when I crash it here?
That's weird.
Like, all right, let's say I nosed it into the wall, you know, at like 30 miles an hour. Like, how am I going to get the car back on track in 10 minutes?
Right? Yeah.
And then the whole back of the car is like a silhouette, you know, it's like, there's nothing back there.
Yeah.
Like it's all just like fiberglass and like little bars and straps and things that hold it there. Mm-hmm. So that was like a big, like, all right, we need to wall the back of this car. Like, I don't want to be afraid of it. You know, like I don't like when I drove the car the previous Pro-Am car, you know, it was all sheet metal and bodywork. And I was like, I would probably stay 2 feet off the wall, mm-hmm. like consistently. Cause it was like, if I hit that wall, I'm going to tear something up. Yeah. This was like, all right, I want to make sure I hit the wall every run. So how do I make that okay for the car? And that was definitely challenging. Like, we didn't nail it right off the bat. You know, designing the structure to like take the abuse to deflect in the right way and not bend things, right? And then obviously it's like you almost need to make sure all your deflection stops when you get to the tire. So you need like protection for the tire, but not protection for the bodywork. Obviously, in cooling, right? Cooling's totally different. Like on a road race car, you just put a little radiator up front, and you know, you're averaging over 100 miles an hour. So there's tons of airflow, tons of cooling. The engine bay staying cool. This is like 60 to 80, and sideways. There's no airflow anywhere through the whole car. Yep. So everything is like fan powered, right? Yep. Like all the cooling is, there's like 60 amps of fans running on the car to keep it cool.
Wow.
And so that's totally different. Just planning on not having airflow, everything in the engine bay getting super hot, hoses getting hot. Of course you're wide open on the limiter the whole time. So the exhaust is twice the normal temperature, you know, you can melt CVs, catch the floor on fire. You name it. I feel like we've done it and then learned and fixed something. So
hell yeah.
It's definitely a wild ride compared to the road race cars, which I feel like are just like mild now.
Yeah.
Not to mention like we're running like sprint car rear end, quick changes, dog boxes, you know, like just exotic stuff compared to, you know, the road race car, which is like, yeah, maybe we'll like put some fancy fluid in the diff.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Trust me. Go ahead.
No, and then lots of power, right? Like the GLTC cars, those are fast cars.
Yeah.
Like, we're turning super competitive lap times. We're blowing, you know, the fastest stock street cars out of the water by a mile. You know, we're right there with the fastest WRL cars. And yet these cars are 200 horsepower. You know, they're 200 horsepower. They're not breaking things very often. And then in the FD world, you know, people are laughing at you when you're only making 650.
Mm-hmm. It's funny like, how it works like that.
The BMW is like 800 plus, right, or something?
It's around 800. It's 750, 800. And that's like, and that was, I feel like I was one of the lower ones in the paddock.
Yeah.
And next year they're like, yeah, make sure you have 1,000 for the big tires. Like, Wow. Okay, all right, 1,000, and maybe I'll bring 100 shot of nitrous with me, like just to be extra sure.
which goes
to the larger wheels and tires for this year. So, which is part of us working together.
Well, we had Novak's M3 at SEMA. Got to see that thing in person. It was crazy, man.
Yeah, man.
That car is nuts too.
I'm telling you, those pro boys don't play around, man.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's a whole nother ballgame. But actually goes right into what I wanted to kind of ask you. So you took over Pro Spec literally in a short amount of time, which is insane. You know what I mean? Now you're going into pro, which congratulations on going into pro.
Yeah, thank you.
What are we expecting from you when it comes to going into this first year of pro? Are you looking, like, obviously we're always looking for the W,
sure,
but what are you expecting? Yeah. Like, what do you want from this season?
I feel like I need to look at it really the same way I looked at Pro Spec. You know, look at my experience, how quick the car is right now, and where everyone else is. I feel like starting out, I mean, even getting some top eights is going to be, a couple of top eight rounds. But this is what I said in Pro Spec, right? I went into Pro Spec and I was like, boys, our first goal is to make it into the show, right? Like, we need to get qualified, win the 32. That way we're out there for the parade for the 16, right? The final, you know, the final broadcast. So just getting into the show was probably the goal, you know, rolling into Orlando last year. And I feel like it's the same thing this year. Like, I just try to be reasonable. And we were shooting for a top eight last year, you know, and it just happened to work out.
Hell
so,
yeah.
Man, do I mean, I want to win, right? So I've never won a round. I got close in New Jersey last year, right? Mm-hmm. Ended up in second. I had that one in the bag too. I screwed it up. I got too greedy. Like, wanted that 100-point run for some reason.
Yeah.
But, and that's part of it. It's like, you got to put on a show. There's no, like, playing it safe isn't going to win any points, right?
Yeah.
It needs to look and feel rowdy and be exciting. Yeah. I feel like that's like the number one goal.
Yeah.
I had that a lot last year. It was like, I want to make sure I have the most angle and be like, I want to be like Denofa. Like, everyone's just like looking in their mirror, waiting for you to come to hit their door. Like, kind of want that excitement. And that's also like the biggest departure from my road racing side. So I think that's why I want it even more. But top eights. And but yes, I do want that win. I want to win at least one round.
So,
because that's like, that's what shows that you're, you know, you're ready, you're there, you know, you're like in the picture.
So who are you looking forward to now that you're going into pro? Who are you looking forward to battle against, man?
Oh, everyone. Yeah. I mean, these are like your childhood heroes, right?
Yeah.
It's like, these are the guys, you know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for sure. You know, Denofa, and man, I want to go play with Reader. You know, I've been watching him a lot, right? Another E46, and chatting with Novak for a long time, and now want to go door to door with him. And then, of course, like the champ, you know, Osbo. Like, what's that like?
Yeah.
You know, is he really as untouchable as he looks in videos? So,
this is
just so consistent. It's like, how do you get that consistency all the time, especially in like the worst conditions? It's one thing to get it on like a good day.
Yeah.
It's another to get it when it's like pouring rain and no one can complete a lap.
Yeah.
Like at the last round last year. And he's just still on the wall doing the exact same run he did in qualifying.
It's crazy.
Well,
you're like, man, that's going to be tough.
And this is a personal comparison. It just me personally, like kind of seeing what you guys are building here, like Stefan Papadakis, and what he's done with that team is insane.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it's just like, and I hope that I'm just not speaking out my ass here, you know what I'm saying? But I see the same in like Andy, man. When I've met Stefan and I meet Andy, and I'm like, they're very similar in the way that they operate, the way that they connect, and him coming in with you and the ASM team coming into this FD stuff, I'm like, yo, people need to like really pay attention here, because honestly, this is aside from working here. Like I've, you know, we work with Travis, we work with, you know, and which to give you a compliment here, you remind me a lot of Travis when it comes to your come up into this whole scene, you know what I mean? And Travis kind of did similarities of what you've done. And I've met Travis in the beginning too, you know what I mean? And very calculated driver, very amazing driver, very talented person. And I see a lot of him in you, you know what I mean? And I'm just excited to see what you guys bring to the table, the challenges. And as you progress and as you get each year are going to get better and better, it's just going to bring something new to the table that I think pro needs. You know what I'm saying? Because someone like an Osbo is very dominant and things need to be shaken up, you know? And I think you guys are the guys to do it, you know? So I'm excited to see what you bring to the table when it comes to this year. And, yeah, man, that's my little rant of what I really truly believe in. And I told Andy this, and I tell these guys here on our own time, ASM is the team to watch out for in all aspects of motorsport, you know? So I'm really here for it. And although I'm believing this company, I'm still a fan, and I'm going to be watching and rooting and hoping the best for you, my man.
Appreciate it for sure. I mean, you're right on Andy. He was, you know, the reason that I ended up doing Pro Spec, you know, I got the license for Pro Spec, but I was still a little on the fence. And, you know, he was the one who was like, oh no, we're doing Pro Spec, you know, and he, you know, right. So I'm over here like, oh yeah, top eights would be awesome. But if you asked that question to Andy, it would be a different answer.
Yeah.
It'd be like, no, we're going to win this thing.
Oh yeah.
Like, he's for sure like 110% driven. And he, whatever, I feel like whatever he makes, whatever he's going to do, it's going to be the best. Or, and I mean, he's cool with failure too. Like he'll learn, right?
Yeah.
So, if we don't nail it for the first try, like it's going to get sorted for sure. And that's why I told Andy at the beginning of this year, he's like, man, 8 rounds is going to be tough, you know, tough for everyone. And I was like, I know, but I need you there. Like, I need, like, you have to be there, you know, because you're the one who, when it's not working out or something's gone wrong or we blew the thing up, you know, I know that like you're the one who's going to get the car back on track and make sure that we have everything we need to be on the top step.
So now that, you know, I kind of want to ask you this, you're obviously going into pro, but you're doing grid life. I know. What does Robert Thorne's future look like? Let's go 5 years ahead. What are you looking to do when it comes to motorsports in general? Like, is it just to stop here, or Are you going to continue forward? Are you going to go back to doing, you know, anything with formula or anything like that? What are you looking at?
Yeah, I'd like to be a little more diverse, right? I know this year, in order to make this step, it's going to be a lot of focus on drifting, right? Not planning on a lot of road racing. Obviously, the BMW can come out and we'll do some grid life GLTC stuff and go play with the boys. But, you know, in order to be at the top level of this sport, I need to be totally focused on it. So I don't have big future plans. I'm not planning on, you know, quitting racing anytime soon. You know, if I were to look at 5 years, I want to be, you know, casually running FD at the top level, you know, while also hitting, you know, all of the big festivals and promotional events. I just want to be at every cool racing event there is, and have a car there ready to go. And that's, yeah, that's part of this team, right? Part of ASM is to make sure that, like, we have a car and one of us is at the top level of each, you know, each of these, you know, pieces. Yeah, every level we want to be at the top. I know all the way from, you know, drifting to road racing to autocross. I know they've got ice racing that they're doing in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We've talked about drag racing.
I heard that, ice racing.
Yeah. We've talked about drag racing. We've rallycross. We're like, man, how do we want to go out and like have a piece of the team that's winning everything?
It's a takeover.
Is there any other chassis you want to play with?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Let's see. An FD, yeah, I want to do something more exciting. E46 is like this perfect tool.
Yes.
Right? That's like easy, accessible. Like when everyone's like, what car are you going to build? I'm like, well, it's going to be an E46 because I know I can show up and have everything I need, you know, to compete. Now that I've driven an E46 a while, I'm like, okay, I kind of know what it should do and what I need. Now I want to build something cool.
Yeah.
So I've got a few ideas. Nice. But I'm thinking like some older, you know, DTM style type looking thing. I was actually looking at some of like the older Mercedes SL Black Series.
Oh, what?
You know, with the big, wide body.
I wasn't expecting that.
Hey, man. Trust when I first started working here, you rarely saw E46s on a track. It was kind of like like all 240SXs for some reason. Well, everybody was playing with those cars.
Quintessential drift cars.
So. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, like E46s is one of the platforms to go
to.
It is. You know, so it's not out of the question to see something as cool as that. Like that's the one thing that I love about motorsports teams is that they play around with these cars. Things that you didn't think they could make into something that would shred like that, and then they do it. You know what I mean? Just like Taylor Hall, you know what I mean? Like in his Corvette. It's not a common chassis to run on drifting.
Well, now it is though. That's
there's more
people are doing drift vets all the time now. Yeah, which is becoming just another kind of platform, I guess.
Yeah.
But are you just are you a partial to German cars? Is that what it is?
Yeah, maybe now. I mean, honestly, I've been a big Honda guy, you know, but
amen.
Yeah, I've been a big Honda guy, right? I mean, my whole everything I've done up until this car has just been the S2000, and that's part of getting involved with ASM, right? Is the big bad wolf, the turbo S2000 that I tried to make that thing do everything, and moving into German cars, it's hard to deny that they're good, and like I want to win, so I'm gonna try to bring the best car I can. Right now, I think that's the E46.
There you go.
All right, so just so because you know we want to kind of end this one, and I know you got things to do and all that, but one of the things I want to ask is, you're from Jersey?
Jersey? Yeah, I mean I was born in Jersey.
You were born in Jersey.
Nice. But I grew up in Pennsylvania, then Connecticut, a little Florida.
Okay. All right.
Some Colorado. All right, so I've been all over now.
You got a little northeast in you. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. Because we're located in New York. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome. So from when I was between Pennsylvania and Connecticut, you know, that's where I was born and raised till I was 19. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, for sure.
So the reason why I ask you this is because I always like to ask people here, and these guys consider themselves pizza connoisseurs for some reason.
Get out of here, bro.
Bro, I don't understand. When you if you come here often, do you have a spot that you go to when it comes to pizza, or you're just like, you know?
No, but you know what I do is I'll go and I'll find a good like sub shop.
Mm. Ooh.
I could go for a good sub, and out here in Oklahoma, not really a thing. You know, we've got like a couple chain spots, and that's about it.
Yeah, what's an Oklahoma thing anyway? What's like a Oklahoma food?
Yeah, what's a staple dish?
Barbecue.
I don't know.
I feel
like
everybody
not
goes to barbecue.
Foodies out here.
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, everywhere out there in the nowhere land. I'm sorry that I know you live there, but. I know you live there, but it just seems like, you know, the towns that no one's ever heard of and cities and stuff. But I always just make the joke that the staple food for all those towns are just tater tots.
Brutal.
Brutal. I mean, he's from Connecticut, though.
I know, so he's had good pizza.
He knows the deal.
He's had good pizza. He's had Italian food, all the good stuff, man. I don't know. Whatever.
There's not a lot of Italian out here.
That's what
sure.
I'm saying. You guys have tater tots.
Well, when you come out here back to Jersey, because you're going to be here for one of the rounds. We'll take you out to get some good pizza or something, you know, just because that's what we do out here. We eat pizza and talk trash. You know,
there you go.
All right, Robert, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate your time. Mm-hmm. And man, thank you for joining our team, man. Thank you for joining us and, you know, rocking with us. And I'm excited for your upcoming season, man.
Cool. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert. We're excited to have you, man.
Have a good one, man. Take it easy.
Have a good one.
See ya.
And that's how the cookie crumbles. Who said that?
That was Jim Carrey.
That was.
But what was his name in that?
I have no clue. That was from that movie about Jesus.
Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty.
Right,
that was
it. Oh, so Bruce.
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 Bruce. Bruce. Bruce. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, man, yeah, this is the reason why I love, and just like part of the conversation, the community is one of the most amazing things about this motorsports car enthusiast world, and meeting people like Robert, and obviously, you know, the reason why, obviously, for some of you who don't know, we got connected with Robert through ASM because we work with Tom.
I don't think they knew that after listening to all that.
I know, but just kind of reiterating again, through Tom and Andy, you kind of knew that he was going to be that type of person, just mm-hmm. a down to earth, chill, straight up about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no better way to put it. He's just about it. He's a motorsports enthusiast, car enthusiast through and through. And you could tell he's just ready to take over things. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's exciting, man. That's exciting as a fan of this whole thing. And yeah, I'm just excited to see him on the track, man. I'll be tuning in, you know, cheering him on for sure.
It's going to be a good season, man. It's going to be exciting.
But with that said, guys, thank you so much for joining us on another beautiful Wheel Wednesday Behind the Wheel podcast.
I got one thing real quick, actually. Hold on really quick. It's just this is me and Luis's last podcast we're going to film together.
This is the actual last one.
So we have a lot of pre-recorded ones that you guys will see from the time of his departure till now, but in real time, this is the last time.
This is my last day.
Yeah, this is last day. This is the last time that Luis and I will be filming a podcast here. So, cheers, my brother.
Cheers, bro.
It's been a good ride.
I feel like that's the thing. I did that with Scott yesterday.
I know. I watched the podcast. Yeah. I saw.
But all right, guys. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for being here with me. Because this is the last one I'll be filming. Maybe I'll come in and hang out one of these days.
Or as a guest.
As a guest, so I'll hang out with you guys, whatever. But thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you all, and you have a good one.
Take care.
Peace.